The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. As we continue reading in Revelation chapter 10, we hear the Revelator say that the little book that was in the hand of the angel was sweet to the taste, but bitter to the belly. And of course, that little book is the Word of God. Why would that be? Why is it that the Word of God can be so sweet to the taste, but yet bitter to our bellies? Elder Buddy Abernathy was beginning to show us why it must be so, beginning with Jesus' reminder that if the world hated him, it will surely hate us. But join us today as we continue looking at this topic and we see how it is so relevant to our daily experience. First, we have a song selection that we hope you enjoy. Then please stay tuned for the message.
Oh, So can't you sense the aggravation in Amos? I was not a prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. You know, I had someone say to me one time when they found out I was a preacher, "Oh, your father must have been a preacher." No, I'm not following in my father's footsteps. But that's the way people sometimes view preachers. It's as if he wants to be a preacher and he wants to go preach a message that'll make people mad, as if that's some ambition that he has. And Amos is saying, that's not the case. So even though he may love the Word of God, it was bitter in his belly. Now let's notice a couple of New Testament examples. In Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Here's the consequences of aligning your life with the Word of God, which is sweet to your taste. Now here we see that the apostles had preached, and we'll just get a portion of verse 40 that makes the point. And this is after the apostles had preached the word of God. Verse 40. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, this beating did not deter their faithfulness to preach the Word of God. But you see, being beaten for preaching the Word of God is not like the sweetness that it is to you when you're reading it in private and meditating upon it and you're not being beaten for it. And then you remember Stephen. We'll not turn to that, but in Acts chapter 7, verse 59, you remember Stephen was stoned to death because he gave a defense of the truth of God's word. Now let's bring this a little closer to home for all of us. Look at John chapter 15. Now remember, a Christian is a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ is one that obeys Jesus. One that obeys Jesus is one that obeys the words of Jesus recorded in Scripture along with all the other Scripture. And so a Christian is someone that lives according to the Word of God. See, it's easy to say, "Oh, I'm a Christian," but not carry that out to the logical conclusion that I just made. If you're a Christian, that means you follow the Word of God. And when you follow the Word of God, the consequences may not be enjoyable. Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 18. "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." Why did the world hate Jesus? He said, "I came down not to do mine own will, but the will of my Father which is in heaven." They hated him for doing the will of his Father. If you do the will of your Father, he says, the world will hate you. You can have the consolation that, well, I must be following Jesus if the world hates me like it hated Jesus. But again, as far as your natural life is concerned, and as far as your relationships are concerned, that's not enjoyable. Now, the Scripture teaches that we can be persecuted for righteousness' sake and rejoice at the same time. Notice how that's described in Matthew chapter 5 after Jesus has given us the Beatitudes. He says in Matthew 5, 11 and 12, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So you see, we're not saying that if you live the Christian life, you're going to be miserable. That's not the point. Here, Jesus makes it clear that if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, you can inwardly rejoice because you feel close to the Lord. But when it says the word of God is bitter in your belly, As we're going to notice now, some of that bitterness is the consequence that it has on your relationships with other people that you may formerly have enjoyed being with before you became a follower of Christ. And it can even make things bitter with your relatives. And we'll look at that in a minute. Now, why does the world hate you? Jesus said, they'll hate you because they hated me. And we've already alluded to the fact that if you're here to do the Father's will, then they'll hate you. But to put really some specifics to that statement, look at Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. Here's why the world hates you if you follow the Lord. To the law and to the testimony, that is the word of God, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If the world doesn't speak according, if you're out there in the world and there are people that are not speaking according to, that is in agreement with or in harmony with the Word of God, the reason for that is there's no light in them. And they don't want any light. And you know, there's a verse in Isaiah that just further illustrates this point, that talks about that these that have no light, that don't speak according to the Word of God, those are the same people that will call good evil and evil good and put light for darkness and darkness for light. There's no light in them. All there is darkness, but they'll put light for darkness. That is, they'll take the things that are ungodly and say, that's good. That's the way you ought to live. We all understand how that's happening today. Among all the immoral activities, they say, oh, this is good. This is the way you ought to be. This is being open-minded. And if you're not open-minded, they will hate you. That's the sense in which the Word of God is bitter in your belly. You know, Paul said this in Galatians 4:16, talking to the church. He says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I tell you, that would cause bitterness in the belly of the preacher, wouldn't it? If the very people to whom he has preached the gospel and baptized, as a result of false doctrine entering in, as a result of that church being influenced to go in another direction that's not according to the Word of God, and then they get offended with the very preacher that's preaching the same truth. And Paul said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And then look at this final example. The Word of God can be bitter in your belly, that is, when you take it in, and it becomes a part of who you are and it influences your life. It can make your belly bitter in that it can isolate you from your family. Now, I'm not talking about the members of your family that are Christians, but if you've just been coasting along in life and not really taking a stand on anything, you haven't offended the members of your family that are Christians because you're really not living an immoral life, and you haven't offended your relatives that are not Christians because you haven't been firm, you've just gotten along well with everybody. You know what Jesus said about that? He said, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And he says, woe when all men speak well of you. You know, we tend to think, well, that's a good thing. He never had an enemy in the world. You know why? He probably didn't stand for anything. Jesus says, take heed, watch out, be careful. Something's wrong when all men speak well of you. So notice in Matthew chapter 10, how Jesus says the Word of God can cause bitterness in our belly in terms of how it may affect our relationships with our family. Now, this verse used to bother me, but I hope I have some more insight. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Now, wait a minute. Is not the family, along with the church and civil authority, the three institutions that God set up? And is not the family, which was the first institution of incomprehensible significance, as far as the stability of culture is concerned, Jesus is not against the family, is he? And I remember reading this and say, well, is this teaching that Jesus came to cause strife in families? Well, we'll see that the context here is when you follow the Lord, no matter what, this may be the consequence. Jesus is not saying, my mission is to destroy the home. Let's read it again and notice what follows. He says, I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes, that is his enemies, shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So here's the correct interpretation. If you have even a father or a mother that opposes the Word of God, now we recognize that children are, the Bible says children obey your parents in all things. Now obviously all things doesn't mean everything without exception. If your parents tell you to go kill someone, you're not to obey them on that. But when the Bible says obey your parents in all things, that means this is the way you ought to be in general, and you don't need to question everything your parents say when it comes to a judgment call on whether or not you should do something. Obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. And even when you're grown, the Bible says, honor thy father and mother. You know, a child should obey and honor. You know, a child can obey while having a bad attitude, because obedience just means compliance. But honor means respect. And when you're grown and married and away from home, you're not in a position anymore where you obey your parents, because you're now a separate structure, a separate home. But you never, as long as your parents live, you're to never stop honoring them. But Jesus is saying, if your father, if your mother, your son, your daughter, whatever relative it may be, if they do not want to follow the Lord and they do not want to live according to His Word, Jesus says, if you love them more than me, that is, if you yield to their unbiblical counseling, if you yield to their instructions that are contrary to the Word of God, you're loving them more than me. It's okay. And let me make this clear. It's okay to disobey your parents only when their instruction is an obvious violation of the Word of God. Again, you're not to question every judgment and say, I'm not sure if I agree with that. It doesn't matter whether you agree or not. Children obey your parents. But if your parents are instructing you to do something that's an obvious immoral sin, then you have to love the Lord more. You know, there's a lot of ways this applies. And I don't think this hits home with any of you here, there are some people that will compromise true worship to go to church with their children and grandchildren. Jesus said, you got to love me more than them. If what they're being taught and what they're embracing is false doctrine, Jesus says, you've got to love me more than them. That's going to be bitter in your belly. And again, keep in mind, when we make that statement, we're not excluding the joy and peace you have with the Lord. You're going to have that vertical joy and peace, but as far as this life is concerned, there are consequences to putting God first. Your family members may say, well, all the rest of us go to this church. You're just a troublemaker. You just want to sow discord in the family. They don't understand the conviction you have to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So see, your stand, your being influenced by the Word of God can be bitter in your belly. You know, that's probably one of the most common weaknesses that we have, and I'm saying we in a general way, not we that are here in particular, is loving father or mother or daughter or son or grandchild more than the Lord. Now, a lot of us here are blessed in that our wife, mother, father, children are faithful believers, and they worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's the ideal. But see, in this world, you'll never have the ideal in every area of life. You know, I've tried to work towards that in my family, and the Lord's really blessed in that area. But none of us have a perfect scenario where I can live according to the Word of God, and all my associates, all my family, every area of life here in this earth, it's all sweet in my belly. None of us have that perfect, and we never will have it perfect. But what matters is that you love the Lord the most. If His Word is sweet to you, and you take it in and meditate upon it, it'll still be sweet to you. You'll still have contented, peaceful fellowship with the Lord, even when you experience the consequences, maybe among your own family, as a result of you seeking the Lord first. Now look at verse 38 in Matthew chapter 10. Notice how this all builds on this concept of loving the Lord more than father, mother, son, daughter. He says in verse 38, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. What does that mean? That just means if you're not willing to bear the persecution, if you're not willing to bear the consequences that come with being a Christian, Jesus says you're not worthy of me. It's not an easy ride. It's not like some of the televangelists say, if you'll just have enough faith, you'll have health and wealth. It's not that way. If it was, then Paul missed the mark. He must not have been faithful because he didn't have that. Now listen to this. This really gets it home to us. Verse 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that findeth his life shall lose it. In other words, you know, I'm going to try not to have conflict with my family. I'm going to try not to have conflict at work. I'm just going to try to get along with everyone. That's what Jesus means when he says, he that findeth his life. You say, I'm just going to do what I want to do. I'm going to plot my own course. I have things I want to do, and these are my personal desires. You know, and they say, go out and find yourself. Discover who you are, what you ought to be doing. When you do that to the exclusion of the Lord, you're going out to find your life, but Jesus says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. That means you're going to lose what really matters. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And he says, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now, I don't use myself as an example to brag on myself. It's just I'm the only one I know that I can, you know, I understand what my experience has been. But you know, I got a college degree. When I graduated from college, I went and interviewed in Huntsville. I remember two of the guys that worked there, they both had Corvettes. You know, they got that degree, got that job, they weren't married, they bought cars. But you know what? I chose to try to put the ministry first. I worked full-time for about a year out of college. When Tina and I married, I worked part-time because I was also preaching some. So the church gave me some support. I worked part-time. And then there was a season where I was able to give all my time to the ministry. You know what? I lost my life out in the world, but I found it. I found the real life that matters. I found what gives joy. I found what I can look back on and be satisfied. That doesn't mean that I'm always 100% confident with all the decisions I make. I look back at some of the decisions I made in the kingdom of God and say, Lord, did I make the right decision? Did I make the right move? But see, to lose your life for Christ's sake is to say, I'm going to pursue the Lord. You say, Brother Buddy, I'm not a preacher. How does that apply to me? I'll tell you how it applies to you. When you move out from mom and dad, you prioritize the kingdom of God. Don't take a job somewhere because it has a big paycheck and then say, oh yeah, I wonder if there's a church here. You put the Lord first. You pray to Him, say, Lord, I want to put You first. Give me a job where I can honor You. And I guarantee you, even though that job may pay less, you're going to find the real life that matters. So yes, the Word of God can be bitter in our belly as far as our personal relationships are concerned, but it'll never be bitter, no matter how much you're persecuted and criticized in terms of your fellowship with the Lord. And that's the fellowship you'll enjoy when you're not around all those people. When you go to bed at night, that's when you're going to have peace with the Lord because you're going to feel His presence.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.